You know, can I tell you something? And y'all probably know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, sometimes things are only as good as the input you put in. And you say, but wait a minute, what input? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the prayer and having your heart prepared to receive from God, anticipating God's move. Amen? Can I tell you something? I've never met anybody in their life, and I'm included in that, that if they didn't come expecting something from God, that didn't receive something from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I'll let it go with that. Praise the Lord. So anyway, just a reminder about the potluck, or the fellowship. I don't like, you know, people say they don't like that. I'm not going to get tied up one way or the other. It's just a good time, and we have a good time fellowship, not only with one another, but with the fellowship of God. He's right here with us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Father, with once again great anticipation, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that we can be confident in you, Lord, because you've begun a good work in us, and you're going to perform that work until the day of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who makes us willing to do the will of God. You work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Lord, we acknowledge what that song just said, Lord. You are the love of God incarnate. You are the love of God. And we thank you for that. And we thank you also, Lord, and I speak this, Lord. I prophesy this and I say this, Lord, that we can love because we know you, Lord, and because you are the example. We can walk in your image and likeness, and we can do what some consider impossible, but with you nothing is impossible. Lord, again, we just thank you. We have open hearts, receptive minds, or vice versa, and Lord, we just thank you that your will is going to be performed here tonight because we've yielded to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. I have several different directions I could go tonight. I'm kind of just waiting to see what God wants to do. Who wants to give God some praise tonight? What's God doing? Is he doing anything? Well, y'all want to share that with us? Or are you going to keep it to yourself? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Well, we keep hearing good reports about Richard. You know, God's good. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. You know, sometimes things happen and we don't quite understand, but that's, well, I'm not talking about things that, you know, that are negative. I'm talking about that God does things in our lives, and it's a blessing that we didn't even realize that was out there for us. It comes in different ways. It comes in different modes, different manifestations. When you look at Richard, I know the enemy meant that for his harm. But you know, God loves us so much. Like I said, Jesus is the incarnate love of God. And he loves us so much that he has plans. Remember Jeremiah 29:11 says he has thoughts for us that are good and not for evil, and to give us a hope and a future, to prosper and not to harm us. And so sometimes, even when we get into a mess ourselves, you know, we sing that song, you know, that his love never ends in spite of me. Did you ever consider that? Just meditate that for a little bit. His love never ends in spite of me. You know, it's no secret that when I was younger, I was the biggest airhead that ever walked. One person disagreed. I saw some heads going even though they didn't go. I said, yeah, I can believe that. Oh. Well, it's the truth. I was. And if it wasn't for God, I still would be. You hear what I'm saying to you? But God has a way about bringing about, even though it looks like it's harmful or it's something that's undesirable, about bringing us into a place where he can do things in our behalf that he couldn't have done any other way. Number one, because we're hard-headed. We all sure got quiet. And because we don't see things. We want to do things our way. And I can honestly say that every time I've tried to do it my way, it has not turned out good. It has not turned out good. Every time. Not just once in a while, but every time. I told y'all when I was, you know, fussing about my son, where he is and, you know, where he's at right now. And it was circumstances. Now, that's not an excuse. But there's grace, amen? There's grace and mercy. And God says they'll follow us all the days of our life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. And I would, every time I got the opportunity or something happened, man, I'd be right there to try to pound the word in him, pound the word. Caused more harm than I did good. Now, my son and I have a tremendous relationship. But the respect that I've gained from him and that we have together between the two of us is because I finally said, God, I release him into your hands. I give him to you, Lord. He is yours. When he was born, we gave him back to the Lord. We dedicated him to the Lord. And I've never taken him back. And I've trusted God to raise him. And while the circumstances are temporal, I don't care. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. Now, I don't care. He thinks he's got all the answers, and he thinks he's pretty smart, but I know the one who is smarter than all of us. And God's got him in his hands. And so when things come up now, I don't get excited. And if God opens the door to say something, I'll say something. But most of the time, he's just watching. And I've become, man, I have become acutely aware, not only of my son, but of everybody who's watching. After the message on Sunday about how all creation groans and travails for the revelation, the revealing of the sons of God, that we, and we're ambassadors. They're watching us. They're watching us. That's what's going to provoke them or draw them or cause the curiosity that's going to draw them in for us to be able to share the gospel with them. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm excited about that. But so I just backed off and let God, and God's doing things. God's done some tremendous things that he's had to flat out say. He didn't exactly put it this way, but I'll speak what I believe he was really saying. This is the Lord you're doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. When it came to his divorce, custody of little Michael, you know, God was there, you know. I'm not saying he was in the right place doing the right thing, but I'm saying that the treachery that was there, and again, because of the faithfulness of God for people who were, with all their intentions and all their desire, were being faithful to him as best they knew how, God moved. Amen? And so that's something to be excited about. So even though Richard went through this, God is maneuvering him, I believe this with all my heart, into a place where he might be just a little bit more ready to listen to God and a little less impetuous. Does that make any sense? That's not negative. If God, you know, God's going to get your attention one way or the other. If you can't do it the easy way, then you might do it what you and I can, listen to me carefully, what you and I consider the hard way. But if that gets your attention, are you blessed? Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. If you can't, then we need to pray. You need to consider where you're at, what's going on in your life. And not everything's going to be pleasant. And that's why, again, we talk about the fact that Jesus said to the rich young ruler, when he said, I've done all the things you've told me, Lord, to be saved, you know, my whole life. And he said, the one thing you lack. And the most important part of that was he said, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I don't know about y'all, I can only take that one way, and that is that God said, you surrender to me. And you know what the kicker is about all that? No matter what the outlook looks from the natural, I've never suffered a day in my life. Well, now, Bill, we remember when you were in the hospital. Yes. And for a little while, because of the circumstances, I was wondering, God, what's going on? But God got my focus back. I knew it wasn't the end. And you know what? Most of you had a hand in that. God used you to keep that focus in the right place. It wasn't that I'd lost my focus, but I was wondering, who wouldn't? Circumstances like that. Laying unconscious for 2 weeks, not knowing what's going on. Then finding out when you wake up, if you're groggy and everybody thinking, you know, this guy's lost his mind because of the hallucinations that I was having from the drugs and just coming out of the coma, you know, and then finding out that you died. For all intents and purposes, twice, you died. Heart stopped. But God, what is meant for our harm, God promises. We need to come to terms with that. If we haven't, then we need to do that. God turns what was meant for our harm to good. And he says our latter days will be greater than our former days. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you know, two different places, and I'm not going to expound much on this tonight, But two different places now I've heard, after I had already mentioned to you guys and already said, get ready, 2013 is the year. And I'm seeing even more intricate pieces of this. And this song tonight just really struck a nerve with me, that he is, Jesus is the love of God. And I added the word incarnate. He is the love of God. He's the demonstration of it. He's the manifestation of it. Amen? He loved us even when we were still sinners. And then he revealed himself to us. Praise the Lord. And now we have the ability to go and be that. But what I want to say is 2013, there are people out there, maybe some of you here, and I can honestly say that I was one of them, where I had great anticipation. In fact, God just reminded me of a prophecy that he gave me personally, just as clear as if he was standing right next to me on an Easter altar one time. And he spoke to me, and I wrote it down. And I, like a fool, I didn't know what to do with it, so I did some dumb stuff, and I don't have any. But I remember specifically the most important keys. Now, there's no reason for me in the natural to believe this would ever come to pass. There's no reason for me to believe that I have any right or that I deserve that. But it's not about what I deserve. It's about the love of God. Amen? And what he has planned for us. His good thoughts toward us. Let me tell you. I'll share with you this much. God is beginning to start to put things in place where people who had no hope of a promotion they're looking for would ever get it. They're not qualified. They're not in a position to receive that kind of a promotion or change in their life and on their jobs. But God is about to do something where he's going to put you. Remember, the Bible says, Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. And he's about to, in 2013, make it so those people who really didn't, they didn't even think about it. It was beyond their, they just put it aside because I don't see any way possible. Well, that's okay. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And he's going to do some things that are going to put you in a position where you never thought you could or ever would be. Are you with me? I'm telling you, I shared with Gene and I shared with Patrick today, Gene tonight on the way in, and I just shared with Harry. I am so excited, I cannot hardly contain myself. If you could take an X-ray vision and see the smile that's on the inside of me in my heart, I'm surprised it's not showing through my ribs. I really am. It's all I can do to stay on the ground. Now, y'all think this is dramatic and stuff. No, this is reality. This is reality. I'm telling you, if you only had half a glimpse or half a notion of what God's about to do in 2013, it's all I can say, it's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my eyes. But it's also, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. Amen? And he's promised us, folks. This promise is for you. I've begun a good work in you. I'll perform that work. But he also said, your eye has not seen, nor your ear heard, nor has it entered into your heart, the things that I have prepared for you that love me, says the Lord. You know what? We don't need all this in the sweet by and by. We're going to be with him. And this is part of what we talked about Sunday, is the fact that the earth is groaning right now. Look at what's going on in the earth, and you can see, you can understand, you can feel the groaning of the earth. They're travailing for the revelation of the sons of God. There have been so many out there that have come in the name of the Lord that have been phony. That's God's business. That's not my business. God called them. That's all that matters to me. I'm not going to be against them. I may not partake in what they're up to, but I believe if God called him, that's it. He says, my gifts and calling are without repentance. But the point is, you look at what's going on in the world, and not just in the United States, but the entire world. And we are, I'm just going to use the words, ripe for a harvest of the manifestation of the power and the glory and the awesomeness of God. How many are ready for that? Whoo, buddy, I'm telling you. I am so ready, you can't believe it. And I want to be part of it. I don't want to just be in it. I want to be part of it. How about you? Hallelujah. I want to be part of it. So when I tell you, hang on, strap in, you know, get on this car because it's about to pull out. And let me tell you something. The ride is going to be a blessing you have never, ever believed possible. Or you haven't been able to conceive that it was possible. Promotions, changing from places where you felt you were the last to where you're now in the first place. Again, you're not qualified. Do you hear me? You're not qualified. There are a lot of things I'm not qualified to do. But if I trust God, then I know that what God's saying is there's going to be things that I'm going to do because of His will and purpose. Do you hear me? Because of His will and purpose that would not be possible in any other way except God. Amen? And we're going to stand back and we're going to say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. 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 I'm ready, Harry. How about you? Hallelujah. Now, you can choose to believe that, or you can choose to sit back and wait. And I'll tell you what, if you're here struggling with it, that's okay. If God got Bill or Richard's my attention, He'll get your attention too. Amen? Hallelujah. See, He loves us. And the point is, once again, you can't earn it. You can't do anything to please Him that's going to cause Him to change His mind about how He already feels about you. There are not degrees in how He feels about us. He doesn't love me any less than He loves you or you, Judy. He loves us all the same. And since He called us all and created us all for fellowship with Him, then that would tell me, if I was in His shoes, I need to be doing what it takes to keep those people that are on the same page with me, blessed, and in a place where they can be effective for me. But all that requires is, God, You're first in everything. There is nothing or no one that's more important than You. Now, we've ridden this horse till it's almost dead. But y'all know what I'm talking about. I said to Jean here, and she cornered me here a little bit ago, just before service. She said, have you talked to Stan about this? And I said, no, I haven't mentioned it to him. But the point is, there is such an excitement in me. I have such an awareness in me that I've never had before. You know, this may sound funny coming from me, but the other night I was listening to somebody on the television, and they were talking about a healing and what's just about to take place and what is taking place even as we speak. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God arrested me. Just right there on the spot. I was sitting there in the living room on the couch, and all of a sudden the tears began to flow. And I was listening to this, I caught myself saying, God, I receive my healing. That's more than just what we're talking about with me being in the hospital. That's more than just the things that I've looked for in the past. That's a total and complete physical, emotional, spiritual healing that we all desperately need. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And I'm healed. And you know what else? For the first time in my life, it's not just a confession. It's not, or should I say, a hopeful confession? Can I just be honest? I know that I know that I know He loves me. He loves me. And it's nothing I did. It's nothing I could earn. It's nothing I could work towards. He just loves me because He is love incarnate. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means what? We're all included in what He's up to right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm surprised y'all aren't dancing in the aisles. No, seriously, man. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm deadly serious about this. And I'm so excited, and it's so real to me. It's like I could reach out and touch it. It's tangible. It's tangible. Bill, hang on. It's coming, brother. It's there, but the manifestation is coming. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what all He's going to do. All I know is it's marvelous. And it's going to be marvelous in our eyes. And it's going to bring glory to the kingdom of God and bring glory to the Lord. Bill's already a tremendous testimony of the grace and mercy of God, the healing power of God. The things that he should have already gone through and has not because of God's hand in his life. What a testimony. What a testimony would you be if all of a sudden the manifestation was there? That's possible. 2013, Bill. Whew. Hold fast your confession. That's what the word says. Hold fast your confession and your profession of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I want to shout. I want to shout. If you can grasp a hold. You know, can I just tell you something? I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but how many of you would be honest enough to say that you've heard so much about how we're in the last days and we're expecting the second coming of Jesus that maybe you've grown a little apprehensive? Maybe a little weary in hearing that? That's right. That's right. But the point is, there are those out there who are. You know, you hear it enough. A good example is, if you want to, the 10 virgins. 5 were expectant. 5 were doing what they needed to do. And the other 5, they were complacent. They got weary waiting for the bridegroom to come. Isn't that right? And so what happened? The bridegroom came when they didn't expect it. Now, in our human vernacular, if you'll just allow me to degrade for a minute, they were caught with their pants down. But the 5 who were ready, they went in with the bride. And because the others were so busy worrying about, you know, it's like what Jesus said to Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good thing. Martha was upset that Mary broke that container of ointment, washed Jesus' feet, and then, you know, and poured it on him, and then turned around and wiped it off with her hair. And Martha was worried about, well, man, we got people to serve. We got this to do and we got that to do. That's one of the problems we have as Christians. We're too busy. We're so busy serving that we're not able to just relax and enjoy the presence of God. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this and I got to do that. We've had people in this church who had a list for everything. And in the final outcome, their list really wasn't worth much, was it? It never turned out the way they expected or what they thought. It's because they thought they were in control. You're not. So you might as well just strap on, let go of the hand railing, throw your hands in the air and say, okay, God, wherever you're taking us, we're ready to go. Wherever you want me to be, I'm ready to go. But in that, watch the blessings of God that not only come upon you, but overtake you in that. There's not a person in this room. I'm not talking about your finances. I'm not talking about, you know, things that are temporal. I'm talking about the fact that you're blessed. The blessings are overtaking you. They're running you down. Can you say amen? I look at the relationship with my children, which I didn't think I'd ever have because of the mistakes that I made, the things that happened. I look at, you know, the things around me. I'm standing here, a preacher. Who'd have thunk it? This wasn't my idea. This was God's idea. And lo and behold, in that, nothing I could do would make it happen or come to pass, and nothing I could do would make it keep it. But God has done something in my life. I pray that you folks can see that. With all of my heart, I pray that God reveals to you, if you don't see it, that God's done something in my life to change me. That I'm only standing here in an office or with a title, which couldn't care less about the title, but what he's done in my heart towards his kingdom, towards the people of God and the people who don't know God. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. Are you starting to get the picture? I didn't earn this. Let me tell you something. If anybody didn't earn it, I didn't earn it. But here's where I am. And as I see and I get the feedback from you folks, the testimonies of the blessings of some of the things that God's given me, you know, Bill, you're preaching to me. No. God was ministering to you. And he chose some clown like me to be the one to minister to you. And if you're getting blessed, it's God. It's not me. But I made up my mind. God, whatever you want. Like the one in the Bible who said, Lord, here am I, send me. Who'll go? Who'll go? And I said, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go. And I've been going, and I'm going to continue to go until I take my last breath. I'm committed. Turn back? Are you kidding? I don't even think about that. Because there's nothing back there. There's nothing back there. Especially now, after the experience that I had, the newness of life that I have, everything that I was, everything that I did, all of the apprehensions and all of the things that were what you might call skeletons in my closet are gone. I understand what Paul talked about. I have a revelation in my spirit about what Paul talked about. It's gone. You're not talking about me anymore. Even when the enemy tries to come back and remind me, and you know, even that has subsided. But hey, do you remember when you did this? Things that brought fear to my heart. I'm going to be honest with you, brought fear to my heart. Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't need to know. And I'm glad you don't. I don't need to know what you've done. Except for the fact. And I'm going to tell you this. I've made my determination. And I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's all I see. That's all I see. I'm not interested in your past. I'm interested in your future. I'm interested in not where you came from, but where you're going. We were once sinners, and we got saved by grace. Now we are the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness of Christ in Him. Amen? Now, you are now. You are right now. This moment. All of you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because you're righteous? No. Because the righteous one lives, abides, dwells in you. And He's the one who's making alive your mortal bodies. Amen? Again, I'm going to ask. I don't need hands. I just want you to consider. What things have you been looking for? Have you been anticipating that you really probably had maybe started to be weary in expecting those things and looking for those things? Come on now, we're family here. We're not here to put anybody down or make anybody feel uncomfortable or embarrass anybody. But how many would say that, you know, maybe in just in some ways you've kind of let down a little bit and you become a little weary in well-doing in some areas? Because you don't see it. You don't have any reason to expect it except what God said. But I'm here, again, I just want to tell you. It's not what you earned. It's not what you have the ability to earn. And you have no reason. You don't deserve it. I mean, let's just be honest. You don't deserve it. But it's got nothing to do with what you deserve. It's got to do with the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And that's what's going to bring about these amazing things in 2013. If you let your mind run wild, if you let your imagination go crazy, you couldn't even conceive of the things that God's about to do in your life. We're not just talking about one or two people. We're talking about those who are true believers, who are on fire for God. By that, I don't mean you're going out standing on every street corner, but you're ready and willing to say when somebody asks you the hope that's within you, why you have that hope, what's going on in you. When people ask you, why are you so joyful? Why do you have the outlook on life you do? Why aren't you affected by all the things that are going on? I'm not part of this world. I'm not part of this world. I'm part of a kingdom. Like the old song says, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels are beckoning from heaven's open door. And I just can't feel at home here anymore. But I'm here because God has a purpose and a plan. You're here because God has a purpose and a plan. And I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Amen? Amen? I don't care what your beginnings are. I don't care what kind of darkness you had in your life in the past. That's passed away. You're all new creatures in creation, in Christ Jesus. Your old man is dead. It's crucified. God has no recollection of that any longer. He doesn't see what you did that was wrong. Because you're covered. Listen to me. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. And nothing gets through that blood. And God only sees you through the eyes of Jesus. And I'm going to remind you again. God stands up there when he sees you. And he says, you know, the Bible says he whirls about. That means he's got some explosive, violent emotion. And he whirls about and he says, ooh, ooh, that's my child. That's my son. That's Lowell, my son. That's Judy, my daughter. That's Jean, my daughter. My children. Ooh, that's Bill. That's Bill. That's my son. Can you get a vision of that? That's Donna. That's Patrick. That's Harry Marie. Bob and Karen. Those are my kids. Look at there. That's my kids. Woo! If that don't make you shout, I don't know what will. I mean, dear God, some folks, they could see somebody raised from the dead right in front of them and said, wasn't that wonderful? I remember as a kid, my dad used to always talk about Ma and Pa. Pa was standing out in the yard one day, and Ma yelled out the house. She said, hey, Pa. Yay, Ma. You're standing on a hot coal. Yay, Ma. Which foot? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Maybe that's a more vivid picture than the one I just painted. And what about if you were the one, the testimony that I've given you about that young lady who actually prayed, God, use me. Not for prideful purposes, but God used me to raise somebody from the dead. Do you think she just sat passing by? Did you see that? Wasn't that wonderful? You think she might have got just a little bit excited? Just a little bit? I think she probably had a Holy Ghost fit right there. Come on now. I would have. I'd have been on my face thinking and praising God and saying, did you see what God just did? Did you see what God just did? I guarantee you that'll put life in your old bones. I'm here to tell you something. You're about to see, and I believe this with all of my heart, you're about to see some of the old dead bones come back together, the dry bones. And you're about to see the hand of God do things you can't even conceive. I don't care how big your imagination is. I don't care how much, you know, you have the ability to have look at things in a positive light. God's going to take your breath away. Did you hear me? God's going to take your breath away with what's about to happen. I believe that. I believe that. That's why I'm living like it's true. Praise God. How many are ready? How many are ready? How many are ready to see what we've been... Let me ask you a question. Is this all there is? Just coming here Sundays and Wednesdays, just singing, seeing God. I mean, God, listen, have y'all ever thought about what's happening right in our midst right now? How many years have we prayed for God to start filling this church? And what's happening right now? But you know what I told Gene tonight? I said, it ain't the pretty folks. Now, what I mean by pretty, I'm not talking about Miss America and Mr. America. There's beauty here. There's beauty beyond wealth right here in this place. And it's not just the physical appearance. It's the hearts of the people. There's beauty here. What did he say he'd do? He said he'd give you beauty for... Yes, Donna. Say it. The oil of joy for sadness. Hallelujah! It's time to get excited. It's time to get on fire. It's time to get that zeal renewed. Fall in love with your first love again. It's time to get that
wet blanket off the fire and start getting that fire stoked up again to get the zeal of God in your heart. Are you ready? I'm ready. Burn me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll just tell you a little secret. If you don't think I don't stand back when I'm talking to y'all and hear the things I'm saying, I'm thinking, dear God, where did he get that from? From God. From God. Amen? You too. I'm not just talking about me. It's not just me. Can I tell you something? Well, the Bible says to give a word fitly spoken in season. But here's the thing. Let me encourage you, Judy. Right now, statistics have changed. And do you know one of the fastest factions in this country that's growing in the principles and the morals of God? It's the young people. They're coming around. They're more for fidelity and moral conduct than we've seen in ages. And you know what? That's part of where a lot of this move is beginning, is and has begun, is in the youth. In the youth. You talk to people like Carmen, and he'll tell you. He's out there in the thick of it. And he'll tell you, man, God's changing our youth. You know, there comes a point where I don't know about you, but I got sick and tired of phoniness. I got sick and tired about, you know, I would listen to preachers talking about, you know, things in the Bible that they painted pretty pictures. They talked about wonderful things, but they never, ever put it in a perspective where it meant something to me. How does that fit me? How does that change me? How does that make me effective for God? You know what I'm talking about? How many can say amen? All been there and done that, huh? But see, I know the people here. And I know they live it every day of the week. And you know what? If somebody stumbles, God's there, and we're there to pick them up. Not to pass judgment. We got enough trouble just keeping our own lives right to be worried about what somebody else is doing. Amen? Family of God, can you say amen? Praise the Lord. That's why you see Jesus has been revealed in this place. I'm not saying we didn't see him other places, but this is the most real and active place I have ever seen body ministry and Jesus manifested that I've ever seen in all my 49 years of ministry. Those of you who know my testimony know I started at the age of 13. Called but not anointed in that early years. But God still, because it was the Word of God and because he loved people, ministered. I can't explain that. All I can tell you, it's real. Hallelujah. He's the potter. We're the clay. We pray and we cry out, mold me, make me. That's what we pray. Mold us and make us, Lord. I remember an old song. It said something like, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Bid me come up higher till thy face I see. Help me to be more like thee. You heard that one before, Gene? How about you, Harry? Marie? You never heard that one? See, that's what you just saw there is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit who brings to your remembrance. These are things that I've known about since I was a kid. And they're in the archives there. Because I got the Holy Spirit. And once in a while, he reaches in and he pulls them out. Share this. And even I go sometimes, burr. Man, where did that come from? I haven't thought about that forever. But you see, he wants to minister to you. And he wants you to minister to others. So the things that are in your heart that you don't even realize. How many times you've gone into a service and you walked out. And before you even hit the street, you already forgot what the preacher said. Oh, none of you want to admit to that. But it's the truth. And now I'm looking back 48, 49 years later, and I'm saying, dear God. Do you know what that tells me? If I don't know about any other word in the Bible that's true, it says, you hide your God's word in your heart so you won't sin against him, but that the word of God doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it's sent to do. Not just for you, not just in you, but for others. We're supposed to spill out on other people. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I excite you tonight? But the point is, it's not about what we were. It's what we're becoming because of the greater one who dwells in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And again, I refer to Paul. Remember, they came and they accused him. Said, you're the one who killed those Christians. You're the one who murdered those Christians. And Paul said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never touched any man. But Paul had the revelation, and that's what I've been trying to explain. I hope I've gotten it through to you. When I died in that emergency room, I finally got the real revelation when I understood, after coming out of the coma and everything, I finally understood what it is to be a new creature or new life in Christ. It didn't make any difference what I'd done before, good or bad. Now, I had a new slate to write on. God had a new slate to write on. Amen? Old things had passed away, literally. And that's why some of the things that I was the most ashamed of, and I thought, dear God, I don't think there's any hope. I don't think you could ever forgive me for that. They're gone. Did you hear me? They're gone. Now, you don't have to experience what I did to feel that and to believe that and to know that. It's the truth. He has no recollection. I still am amazed that a silly cartoon can have so much wisdom in it. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Here's the thing. The old things have passed away. God's begun a new work in us, amen? That's every day. Did you know that that's every day? You can't go back and relive yesterday. But you know, and all it takes to get rid of it, put it under the blood, and get it dumped in the deepest ocean, and say, Father, I repent. I see what I did wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I displeased you. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you the way I should ever. Whatever it is. And it's gone. It's forgotten. Now God's saying, you're the ones that I've chosen to be revealed as the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the ones that creation's been waiting for. Did you hear me? You're the ones the creation's been groaning and travailing for to be revealed. Can you get a hold of that? Can you say amen? Say, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. That's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything we need to pray about tonight? Are all hearts clear? Are you encouraged? I hope you are. You should be. If you're in a place where you think maybe you've outlived your usefulness or God's done using you, no, honey, he hadn't even got started yet. Family of God, he hasn't even gotten started yet. Hallelujah. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for the needs that are represented here, and I pray for those people who could not be here tonight, Lord. I thank you that your hand is working in their behalf, that the Spirit of God is going before them, Lord. He's revealing and teaching and doing what he is supposed to do according to your word. And I thank you that men and women are being blessed. Men and women are learning and understanding and beginning to see for the first time in their life the calling that you have on their life, that they are the sons of God that are being revealed. And Lord, I thank you that you've not only called them, you've equipped them. You've given them what it takes and what they need to be able to fulfill what you've desired and what your position is and what you've set before us to do. So Lord, we say that we receive it right now. We thank you for your word. Seal your word in our hearts in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit of promise. And Lord, go with your people. They're blessed spiritually. They're blessed physically. They're blessed emotionally, mentally, financially. I thank you, Lord, that all of their needs are met because their eyes are on you and they're seeking your kingdom, Lord. Seeking you first, and you're adding all of these other things to them. Not because they're seeking for it, Lord, but because they're doing what you ask them to do. And because of that, you're blessing them. The blessings just follow, Lord. The blessings just follow and run them down. We give you praise for that, Lord. Go with your people tonight. I thank you that your countenance shines upon them, that they're blessed, that you have good thoughts for them. You're making us all what we're supposed to be for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you for safety. Thank you for sweet sleep, peace, and rest. And thank you for a new day tomorrow where we can wake up, give you praise, and thank you for the day at hand. And Lord, accomplish your will. Ask you what your will is and what you've got for us today, Lord, so that we can be about your business. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Let me rephrase that. You are blessed.